I'm Megan Luscombe and you're listening to season 4 of my podcast, Real Talk. This season focuses on some of the most important topics surrounding personal growth, relationships, and business. So settle in and let's chat. I acknowledge the Boonwurrung people, traditional owners of the unceded land on which I live and work and record this podcast, and pay my respects to elders past and present. On today's podcast, I'm talking to Cherie Clonan. Cherie is CEO and owner of Melbourne-based business, The Digital Picnic. As I am her coach, I've been privileged to have an all-access pass into her world and brain. In today's podcast, you'll get a glimpse of it too. We're discussing her neurodivergent brain, running a business, navigating friendships, and more. All of Cherie's information is linked in the podcast description, but for now, let's get into it. Well, first off, I'm fucking pumped that you're having this conversation with me, and I'm very excited to be having this conversation with you. And it feels so nice to actually be able to have a conversation with you about this, because I feel like I've witnessed your actual journey on finding more about the intricacies and extraordinary capacities of your brain. And I feel like I've been a passenger in this sort of journey for you. So I'm glad to have you on here. And before I kickstart into all of these questions that I do have for you and that I do know my audience will have, how long have you been running TDP?
Yeah, so it feels like there were two TDP lifetimes. So all up, we celebrate 8 years this October. Wow. But I feel like it really became mine in 2018. So in that respect, I feel like a bit of a baby business, you know. Mm-hmm. I just never felt like it was mine until it really was that I was sole director. And I've just really found my feet with it all since, you know, October 2018. And I love it. I've just loved every day, like even the hard days, but every day since October 2018, that was my time to shine.
Right, 2018. And it's funny that you say that you still feel like a baby, because obviously watching your business online, I'm sure a lot of my listeners will be able to go, TDP is a, you know, it's a bit of a powerhouse.
Oh, I never know why they think that. I'm like, oh, just spend a week with us.
but I love that hearing from you. For you, it's still, you're looking at it as an infancy, which to me goes, there is so much more growth that clearly you are going to be putting into it if you're looking at it from its infancy. Yep. But we've just gone through COVID. And when I mean just gone through, I mean we're still going through.
Totally.
I feel like this is a continuous wave that we're all adapting to. Do you think that there has been any key areas over the past few years that you would say are the standout success moments?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like obviously anyone who's had a business through COVID, but just anyone who's done COVID in any way, shape or form, whether it was the homeschooling kid or the, you know, the really lonely solo person in apartments by themselves for far too long, you know what I mean? Like we've all done it really tough. But I think throughout all of it, even in the really tough moments and far out, like that there were some.
Oh, yeah.
I think you got my first cry out of me, Megan.
I think I may have.
It was huge, you know, so like really tough moments. But I did honestly get to this really beautiful point where I was like, I'm glad that I'm the person who just really prioritizes human. And so therefore I build this really beautiful, I think, humanistic and encouraging workplace, you know, and that's the kind of, I guess, just culture. Like that's the kind of place I'd want to be if I was weathering this one in 100 year event type sitch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it sort of just made me stop downplaying, you know, that and realizing maybe in that regard, I'm a bit of a force to be reckoned with, and that I have got the capabilities to build out something that just celebrates human. Mm-hmm.
I love that. People. Celebrates human.
Yep.
How nice is that? Just to celebrate human.
It just, and whatever it looks like, whatever, you know.
I love that.
The bad, the ugly, like it's all beautiful.
I love that. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people will probably assume that my conversation with you is going to be revolving around TDP and let's talk about the ins and outs of TDP. But we're not talking about that because we are talking about human. And that's literally what my whole conversation with you is about. And I think anybody who follows you will know that you have been on your own journey of human.
Yeah.
For a little while, and
you have been exploring your neurodivergency and what that looks like for you. And I think you've been really incredible at allowing viewers and followers and anybody who probably is in your world the ability to have an insight as to not only a diagnosis, but what the journey of diagnosis looks like.
Mm.
And when it comes to your neurodivergency, what is that?
Yeah, well, it has been a journey. It sounds so MasterChef-y.
I can't think of a better word either. I know. Honestly. I have racked my brain.
Yep.
But yep. I've landed on journey today, guys. Sorry.
Sorry, everyone.
I know. We are both mindful of using the word journey too much, but I'm sorry. That's all we could land on today. I've only had one coffee.
Honestly, same. Like, yeah. So that's what it is. And I guess like the only analogy that I can think of, and I probably, this is a fairly, maybe it's a niche movie, but if anyone's seen The Butterfly Effect by Ashton Kutcher. Yeah,
good movie.
I just feel like him at the moment because I keep going back to different parts and sort of watching on as, you know, adult me and now formally identified me, and so much makes sense, you know. And it's just, I don't know if that's inner childy type stuff. I haven't really explored anything like that. But if it is, well, that's what I've been doing. And it just feels really butterfly effecty, except that I don't have the ability like Ashton to change anything. And I don't know that I'd want to. That's the truth. Yeah. You know? I'm 39 now. I am where I am. And I've learned that I'm, you know, I am a really proud autistic and ADHD woman, you know, and I've loved going back to different parts and just really making sense of why I made my dad scale a cliff face in the Blue Mountains looking for a cicada that I just had to see. I didn't even want to own it. I just had to see it, you know. So, yeah, it has been a journey, you know, and I've loved every minute of it. Like I'm so glad this happened to me, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
And I think whilst, you know, obviously maybe it's not a journey, maybe it's an evolution.
Yeah, that's
maybe that's the word we should be going with. And I've landed on that word just now only because hearing you talk about this from an experience of being able to look back and being able to maybe put maybe some parts of your life under a microscope now, but you've now got a different lens. I think this is an evolution for you. And I obviously, anybody listening, I have the privilege of insight into you as a client, but also as somebody who's followed you and has interacted with you and definitely would say as a friend, I feel like I'm saying this is an evolution. And I think I'm going to use evolution because I think it'll keep changing for you in positive ways. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, everything changed for the better once I realized why I am the way I am, you know, like everything, the way I parent, the way I marriage, just everything got better because when you understand yourself, and you make the accommodations that you need just in your own life, you know, everything around you changes for the better. And even in the ways that it doesn't change for the better, and that some people just felt really uncomfortable with how loud and proud I am now. But I promise you, Megan, and you know, I sat in there in silence for 12 months because I wanted to make sure when I finally spoke about this, you know, differently wired brain of mine that I wasn't using as, you know, any harmful sort of language. And I'm still learning and
I absolutely
better and better with my language. But I reckon if I'd come out, and I say this with inverted commas, you know, any sooner, I don't think my language would have been where I would have wanted it to be.
Yeah. And I think that's a really important point to make, that when it comes to language, we're all learning. And I think one thing I want anybody listening to this is that we can only be better once we know better.
Yeah.
And I think learning and educating ourselves about neurodivergency and any type of way of being as a person or as an individual is important for us to learn. But it's also important to know that if we get it wrong, it's okay. We can we get re-educated and then we learn and put that new implement. We implement that. And I feel like a lot of people are scared to get things wrong. So they don't ask questions or they don't say oh, like they might say to you, they might be scared to say to you, oh, so what does being autistic look like? Because they don't want to cause offense. And I think at the end of the day, we can only ask questions and then be educated, as opposed to not asking questions and then really fucking it up and really getting it wrong.
Absolutely. I can't even tell you how many questions I ask of my non-binary mates because I just want to do so much better.
Absolutely.
You know? So we've got to ask these questions.
And yeah. And they might feel uncomfortable, but you know what? Ask the question.
Absolutely. Yep.
Did you find your diagnosis an empowering experience?
Yeah, I did. And I know that's not the case for a lot of, or certainly the people that slide into my DMs, especially when it comes to their children. It's hard to read.
Yeah, okay.
But I've got to take myself back to that place. And I've got to say, honestly, I just didn't experience that for us, for our
family. Okay, great.
I don't relate to the devastation. And I say this again in inverted commas, I was never devastated.
Yep, great.
Not one tiny part of me, not one micro percentage felt devastated or even sad. It's been empowering from the beginning. I don't know how to describe it. I just kind of like heard the words and went, yeah, okay.
Sounds quite liberating for you.
Yeah, it really was. Because again, it's that butterfly effect-y type thing. I just instantaneously went back and was able to go, oh my God.
Mm.
So for me, it just, I don't know, the first thing that just like came rushing in was honestly being diagnosed with postnatal depression and never really thinking I actually had postnatal depression.
Yeah.
At the time, and I would always respect a professional, and I did, and I took the medications, but it was a freaking disaster, Megan. Like, they put me on this particular medication that was high on serotonin, and I had the opposite effect where I genuinely worried, do I have, not that you should be worried about this, but I was, you know, I was just thinking, is this my new path? Do I have bipolar disorder? Because I was so, it was an out of body experience, that's all I can say, like, absolute manic, you know, out of control, out of body experience. Obviously went straight back to the person I was working with this, and they said, I think you're allergic to serotonin. And I was like, what? And no, I wasn't. So I wasn't allergic to serotonin. I stopped taking, and I'll just, you know, tread with caution here. I'm not going to really talk much about the medication side of things, but for me personally, I came off, and how I healed, again in inverted commas, was I sent Dave away with both kids for as many weekends in a row as possible until, and I didn't know at this point that I was autistic, by the way, but I just knew that my brain needed freaking silence. You know? I could not handle the noise anymore. And so he went to his parents. In the first few weekends, I honestly sat for a full 48 hours staring at a blank wall in my house, just starfishing in the silence and healing. And so now I know I was in sensory overwhelm and autistic burnout. I didn't have PMD. I know it, you know. So empowering is the right word, Megan, because like just to make peace with that part, which was so confusing. It was such a confusing time in my life where I just thought, what is going on?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's it. What you're saying, I think will resonate with a lot of people, that
maybe
you are getting to know a different part of yourself, and we know ourselves well as individuals. And sometimes I think we stop trusting in ourselves and the things that we're experiencing because either A, they're confronting, B, we are unsure, C, we don't know if we're going to have support. And D, sometimes we do get the wrong advice. And unfortunately, and I hate that that happens, but it is something that happens. And I know that I was diagnosed with, I had a doctor pre-diagnose me with bipolar disorder when I was in my early 20s. But it was actually after I went to a therapist that I got diagnosed with premenstrual dysphoria syndrome, which are completely two different disorders. And I know that from working in the mental health space, but it was only the fact that I have a glimpse into the psychology world that I was able to say, I don't have bipolar. Like this is very different from bipolar. And obviously going to a generalized doctor for a mental health diagnosis is not what you want to be doing. Please, anybody listening to this, go to a therapist and actually speak to somebody who actually is specialized in doing diagnosis. But I think the point that you're making is that once you know the name of, once you know the diagnosis, you have that sigh of relief. And obviously your diagnosis was the autistic and the ADHD, that breathing, mine was the premenstrual dysphoria syndrome, where I was just like, that's me.
Isn't it?
That's
isn't
me.
It? Just to be able to put a word to something and then, obviously just start reading so much more and linking into Neurokin was the biggest part, came off the back of that, and just hearing all of this language that made so much sense of my
Neurokin.
Life. So other neurodivergent.
I love that. I've never heard that term.
Yeah, it just feels like home, you know, just.
That's such a lovely term.
Yeah, I really like it. So that was the biggest part for me, just hearing so much of their language and just saying,
Right, you get it. So you've got a community of people who can all be like, I see you.
Yeah.
Not only see you, we share that experience.
Yes, honestly, it's really that. Like we'll sometimes go out socially and I'll fuck up a hug. Like they'll go, I think they're hugging, they're doing something else, and I fuck it up because I'm an awkward turtle and no one talks about it. No one doesn't even get raised. It's like, next, you know. And it just
I really love that. I'm an awkward turtle.
Yes, I really am.
I love that.
Yeah, so it's great. It's been empowering. I'd wish it on anyone who is at that point where they're just maybe like me. I followed after my son. I had no idea. Autistic AF, no idea.
Yeah, okay. For you, that was the turning point for you following your son's journey and obviously being the sort of leader in that journey, I guess.
Yeah.
Then it made you go, I'm gonna do that for myself.
Yeah, honestly, like typical of so many autistic females, we get missed. Our sons get detected bang on 7 years old. So that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, no, you're really right. Yep. And I think that's I'm really glad that you flagged that because maybe there might be, women listening to this podcast going, shit, some of these things I identify with, and maybe it's time for me to, champion myself and empower myself and to see if I am
totally
autistic or, honestly. And there's nothing more empowering for a person than to take charge of their life in any way possible. It doesn't, it can be in a myriad of ways. And I think one thing I know from the work that obviously I've been able to witness with you, and other clients now, I'm noticing that more of my clients are starting to take positive change when it comes to official diagnosis, when it comes to, ADHD or OCD and all the D's and all the terms. And I think I have noticed I work with a lot of clients who ADHD.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing that a lot of women probably have undiagnosed. And I'm loving seeing more people speaking about this on a social media aspect, because it's important to be empowered to talk about how your brain works, because your brains are beautiful.
Yeah, it's different, and it's for me. I love it. I
love this
little brain of mine. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What with the fact that you're able to confidently say, "I love this brain of mine," and I love that you can say that. What does being autistic mean to you then?
Yeah. For me, I guess there are so many things that maybe are a competitive advantage.
Love this.
When I look at old mate ScoMo, who drops 1 mil on an empathy consultant, and I just think, I didn't have to do that because I'm drowning in empathy. Too much of the stuff,
Yeah.
So I guess, the autistic experience for me, like I was recently at an autistic conference, and I realized, listening to so many stories, I think I must fall into the happy autistic category. And there's a lot of autistics with a lot of trauma, and I have trauma too. I really, you can't get through a mostly neurotypical, kind of world and like upbringing without a little bit of trauma.
Absolutely.
But I did really listen to so many of the stories shared on that day, and I realized, oh wow, like I'm a pretty happy autistic, and that's because I was raised by just a powerhouse single parent who's also autistic, and he just made the most neuroaffirming kind of life for me without even meaning to, because he was autistic himself, you know. And home was a safe place for me. I love my dad so much. He's like my bestie, you know, and so nice. It's so great. Like, so in that regard, I'm a happy little autistic, and it meant that I got to, like, later years not having to unpack so much of the trauma that I heard about at this particular conference that I was at. And I felt sad, felt guilty, but also just realizing, wow, what a special little brain that I have, you know. We all do. And if we can survive the sometimes trauma of growing up in this, you know, this confusing little world that we sometimes feel like we're a part of, you know, we can get to this point where we realize I've got something special, you know.
Absolutely.
I've got to that point through so much of my conversations with you, but also just neurokin as well, and just starting to realize, wow, something that comes so easy to me, others find really challenging. And I feel really grateful for this, that I don't find this challenging at all. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think what you're saying here is such an important identifier when it comes to your personal experience being autistic. Is clearly it's varied. It's a varied experience for everybody. And I think that's one thing most people probably don't realize about autism. It's not a set experience and a set way of a brain development for every single person. It's a spectrum of feelings, emotions, experiences. And I suppose maybe would you agree that's why it could potentially go undiagnosed, because it's so varied?
Oh, absolutely. And especially like the you know, the role that gender plays in it all as well.
Yeah.
You know, I went undiagnosed because I'm a people pleaser, and I've learnt now about the four responses to, say, distress, and I'm a fawner, which will shock you.
Yeah. Oh, so shocked.
So surprised. So fawning my little way through all of life, and so just absolutely got missed, because why would anyone notice? Whereas my son, you know, just a completely opposite experience, you know, so got picked up really quickly.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that I hope people can listen to that and ask themselves, have I also put on a mask? Have I also chosen to adapt to a world in which I have made myself become accustomed to? And are there things that I do which I am masking? And look, and I don't want people to feel bad if they have been doing that. We live in a world where if you aren't one of the, you know, cis het fucking heteronormative like people, do have to, you feel like you have to wear a mask. And I can hand up, say that was me for a lot of my life until I, you know, came out.
I know. But yeah.
For you, what I'm hearing you say is that when it comes to women, it is such a later in life.
It really is. And, you know, I said before, like, about the movie The Butterfly Effect and my not wanting to go back and change anything, right? I'm mostly happy with how it's all panned out. But there's one moment where I sort of just wish I could go back, and, well, more so that any woman, any young girl especially, could just normalize what's going on in their heads. Because if it was me, Megan, like, I would have said, hi, does anyone else hear the most stunning music when people talk or scenes play out in their life? Because my whole life growing up, things would happen in the schoolyard and, like, cinematic music would play. I'd start writing the freaking screenwrite copy for it. Like, and I was like, is this normal?
Is everybody hearing a musical right now?
You know, it's a full-scale production here. Like, and if I'd said that out loud, you know, and teachers might have heard it or something, they'd be like, I mean, normal for you, but hey, let's talk.
Yeah, and that's really interesting, right? Because that obviously has probably been a moment for you a lot in life that you haven't, you know, openly shared. And I can relate to that sort of hiding moments. I remember when I was in primary school and there was a girl that I looked at her and I just wanted to bite her cheek.
Yeah.
And that might sound so weird for people to hear, but I wanted to consume her. I just wanted to consume her. And I remember being in this moment thinking, do I ask? And I wanted to ask somebody about it, but at the same time, I was like, whoa, whoa, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Okay. And all there you go. And that's where the shame started, right? And I was like 9 and the shame started there. And you go, and for you, you're saying, you know, is anybody hearing this music? And I'm writing the screenplay. And for me, I'm walking around going, does anybody else want to bite her cheek?
You know what I mean? Like, imagine if we all just went back and said,
right,
I want to do this. Or is someone else hearing or seeing this? But it made me realize, I guess, to like break it all down, my autistic experience is I've come to realize when someone looks at green and sees like 20 shades, I see 200.
Yeah.
It's a very vivid world, but it makes me tired. So I'm on the couch by 7:30 p.m. because, you know, 20 shades of green is pretty intense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't know any other way. It's just how my brain is.
Yeah.
So, you know, cool. But it just means I have to come up with a heap of accommodations to cope with seeing life in 200 shades and music playing and
copyright
productions.
Yeah, well, no wonder you said you took that time to have silence.
Yep, exactly.
Like sensory overload would be a real, you know, issue for you. And I wonder, have there been any other negative? Well, I don't want to say that that's negative in the sense of it's keeping you down or it's making you feel down, but have there been any moments that have caused you negative pause, maybe from other people, you know, running a business and being an autistic business owner, you know, and a proud autistic business owner? Have you come up with any conflict or any?
Totally.
Of course. You know, it's a very stupid question because, of course, I'm asking that with hope in my brain of you going, no, Megan, it has been fucking absolute rainbows. Imagine. But I know it's going to be a fucking no. So please share what has happened there.
I mean, for me, it's just the vulnerability.
Okay.
With my autistic experience, it might not be the same for anyone listening, but for me, my autistic lived experience is a really vulnerable one. So. Yeah. Many ways. First, I'm a narcissist magnet.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned that about me, and now I'm just putting the tools in place to try and better recognize narcissism. But I will say I still struggle so much. I don't see it until it smacks me on my ass. Mm-hmm. You know? But other things, I guess, professionally speaking, I'm ego-less. Like, I've got an ego. We all do. I'm not.
Absolutely.
We all do. But I just know for a fact, compared to most organizational leaders, I operate honestly, really without much or any ego, the way that other, and I've seen it, organizational leaders operate with. And as a result, like, I'm just all about, you know, flat hierarchy. But have you ever tried to scale a company and have this hierarchy?
Yeah. It
doesn't freaking work.
Yeah.
So when the organizational structure sort of, you know, continued to get built around me, I was like, it doesn't matter where I am, I don't care. You know, just put me wherever. I'm always going to be the founder of this business, you know. But actually it does matter. And I learned that the hard way, and really hard way. So by December 2021, I felt that I honestly didn't exist in my business. It was like I'd put myself into invisible mode.
Mm-hmm.
I was out of all feedback loops. The only feedback that I got was profit, loss, and internal complaints. So not
fun stuff.
You know, so I just thought, my business is shit. I'm not good. I'm going to replace me. I'm going to exit stage left quietly, tail between my legs, and we'll find another me, you know. You know, that was just not necessary at all, you know. Actually, I am needed in this business. I just had to get a bigger ego and say, I'm the CEO. I'm here. I can walk into any room in any conversation I flipping want to.
Take up space.
And
so, who would have thunk it, hey?
Right, thanks to you and me. And so since December 2021, I've been taking up space and been, you know, different. So, yeah, negatives, like, I am a vulnerable human, you know. I know that. Friends, I'm not going to have a strike rate of keeping many, you know, because I'm a tough one to be friends with. You know, I'll let people down according to them and so on. And, you know, got this beautiful message on a particular social platform from someone who felt like they needed to apologize to me. And I was so confused. I was like, why? You know, and they said they haven't been engaging with me in any way, shape or form for a particular period of time because they felt rejected by me. Now, for one, Megan, this is where I felt really, it smacked me in the face with vulnerability. I hadn't fucking noticed.
Yeah.
Didn't even notice they weren't talking to me to begin with. Yeah, second, right. They wanted to be my friend. And I just felt like, whoa.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this to people and I'm not even going to be aware of it. That scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm going to prioritize this person because I wanted to be their friend too.
Yeah. But yeah, I think you actually highlight an even bigger point there when it comes to friendships. I think a lot of people want to be friends with people, but we lose the art of friendship making once you get into your late 20s.
Yeah.
I think it can be really hard to make new friends because as you grow and evolve, your friendships change.
Yep.
And I think anybody listening to this, if you want to be friends with anybody, maybe if you want to be friends with Sheree, just say, I want to be friends with you.
Please, if anyone's listening to this,
be specific, please.
Say that, especially to an autistic person. I've got to say, I'm going to generalize here. If you want to be friends with an autistic person, can you say, hello, I really like X, Y, and Z about you. Yeah. I'd like to be friends with you.
Yeah.
And you will make our freaking day. You've got to spell it out because I will sit in this nothingness. I'll sit on my couch on a Friday night thinking, it's a quiet life, you know, but I'll be good, you know. I want people to spell it out. So now the friends that I have in my world, they spell it out what they need from me, and that makes me feel really safe with them, you know, and I'll keep missing it like I just described to you with other people, but I don't pick it up. They are the social cues I completely, completely miss. I will pick up on it.
And I think that's where it comes down to that, you know, obviously the friends you have now know these things about you. And I think that's what friendship really is. It's about being transparent in how we are, how we operate, how we work, how our brains work, the things we need and don't need and so on and so forth. And I think it's really great that you've highlighted that because some people now might be listening to this going, oh, maybe I need to go get a diagnosis, but they might also be going, hey, that sounds like my friend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like it's really important for people to be listening to this, not just considering for self, but going, wow, this sounds like somebody I know. And maybe instead of being inquisitive and curious about them and asking further questions, I've just labeled them as a shit texter.
Totally.
You know, so let's go the extra mile and ask some additional questions. Let's get some background information here, people, before we start doing blanket sort of statements.
Yep. Honestly, if any of my friends send a text message and if it's a big question and it stops me and it gets me to think about something, I'll never reply.
Yeah, okay.
I get stalled in this like, you know, and I've got so much to say about it. It's an in-person conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. That's really good to know.
You know, because like if it's text, I get the woman was too stunned to speak.
I love that.
Yeah,
clearly. I love that. Hands away to the camera. What?
Yeah.
And I think that's actually really important. I mean, I'm a phone call person. Like if somebody asks me a question over text, or I'm a voice message person, I'm like, I don't have fucking time to send you back a fucking text right now.
Uh-huh.
Listen to the voice message. Like, or don't listen to it now. Just keep it and fucking listen to it later on.
Totally.
Like,
audio. Oh my God. Yeah. Audio has saved friendships for me. Audio is
the best. The
reason why I've got friends today.
I love that. We're all like, thank you, audio.
Yep, literally.
Thank you, audio. Thank you, WhatsApp. I love that. So I'm gonna wrap it up for us. But before I do, is there any message or any key takeaway you want my listeners to know about you running a business, about your diagnosis, about being a proud autistic woman? What is something that you want them to know?
Yeah, I guess maybe you've got some neurospicy listeners or neurocurious.
Yeah.
Whatever you've got going on, I was sort of, you know, saying with you earlier, like I'm so glad that I sat in silence for a little while. Like, don't rush this. If you're curious about seeing elements in yourself that maybe just are starting to make sense and so on, it's not to quote, geez, it's not a race is ruined for me now. I can't say that. It was a race spot, actually. But in terms of this, it really isn't a race. You can take sweet time, you know, like I did. And by the time I, you know, came out, I was a much better voice because of it. Now, I'm not saying because I've got any, you know, social platforms that that's important. When we come out to our friends, our family, our children, whatever, you know, whatever's going on, you know, you deserve to get the language right. You deserve to feel like you've become a self-advocate by the time you come out, you know, and it's just a much better experience. So just take your sweet time, go gently. It's almost like a fourth trimester of pregnancy for me, this period of exploring my, you know, differently wired brain. Like it felt like the fourth trimester where I was just kicking back like Eastern cultures pride themselves on doing after their baby's born, and taking it slow, you know. And yeah, so that would just be my piece of advice to anyone, is to just do that. Same goes if your friend comes out, sit with that, explore, you know, ask as many questions as possible, understand them like my, you know, three besties did, and they just understand me so well that I couldn't feel safer in, you know, what are we, July 2022, than I am right now in those few friendships that I have. Like I just, I feel so freaking lucky, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And it sounds like what you're really reaffirming is this is a marathon, not a sprint.
Yep.
And safety is important.
Yeah.
And being on this journey is something to do for yourself, and to take your time and care with it, knowing that when you are on it, when you're ready to talk and share, to have people that are going to champion you and hold space for that safety.
100%. Yeah.
Find me on Instagram at MeganLuscombe_. Book a session or say hello at my website, meganluscombe.com.au.